evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all our ships at sea. It's time for the Brem Sports Line, sports talk with a local attitude. Tonight on the Brenham Sports Line, it's our annual deer hunting special. Brought to you by Budweiser, Mike Hopkins Distributing, and Classic Care Cleaners, making sure you look great in everything they do. Props going out to Heine Minush and his all-star band. And as always, in studio with us here on the Sports Line, our Sports Line mascot, Mookie the Rabid Badger, as we kick off another Monday night of the Brenham Sports Line, brought to you by Budweiser, Mike Hopkins Distributing, and Classic Care Cleaners, South Market Street in Brenham. And tonight on the Brenham Sports Line, as we mentioned, it is our annual Deer Hunter special. I'm the sports doc, Ed Pothel. I'll be with you for about the next 55 minutes or so. We're going to be talking deer hunting. Of course, the season gets underway on Saturday. And joining us, as always, old Lumpy is with us, our resident deer hunter, if you can call him that.
Hey, I hunt.
He goes out
in
the woods with a gun, ladies and gentlemen, and
that's about
all he does.
I'm a game manager.
He goes out in the woods with a gun.
I don't just shoot anything that moves. I manage the deer population.
Yeah, apparently you don't shoot anything that moves. But anyway.
If it ain't legal and if it ain't good enough, I don't shoot.
Yeah, okay.
Good man.
I'm a proper hunter. That's Robert over here.
He knows. Mm-hmm. And also former Washington County, or former Texas wildlife biologist, Robert Lehman. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here again.
Great to have you back again. Of course, boy, we started this how many years ago?
Well, quite a few already, and it's been pretty good.
That's it. Our annual visit. And we do want to apologize. Stephanie Dameron, the current biologist, was going to be with us tonight. Family emergency. She is out of town, and our thoughts and prayers are with her and her family right now, and hopefully everything works out all right. But Stephanie could not be here tonight, and we surely completely understand. And so we are going to carry on with the program. And if you have any questions, give us a call at 836-9937, 836-9937. And when I say we, I mean the group we, because I'm not including me in any of these. If you want a good recipe for venison, I'm your man. But as far as how to kill them.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, that's as good as Craig at it.
I make an attempt at it. I do seed deer in the wild.
Yeah, you know, Craig got one 2 years ago.
Yes,
which is one more than I've got. So you know,
ever
there you go. But we have a lot of folks out there getting ready to go deer hunting come this Saturday. Of course, locally the season gets underway. And, Robert, first question is, what are the prospects? How are things looking as we get ready for the 2015 deer season?
Well, I'm a little rusty at it because, you know, I'm not in the business at full-time anymore. But just my observations of it, it looks like it's going to be pretty good. We had some really dry weather leading up to all the rain that we had now. And, you know, I was kind of concerned about it being dry. But now that we've had the rain, I think the range is in good shape. I think we're going to get the cooler weather that we need. We have a extremely heavy green up out there right now with this rain. So the deer ought to be active, but we're going into a time where if they get enough food, you know, they may go a little nocturnal on you or something like that too.
All right. And that's, I guess, the good news, bad news, because
right,
the good news is it's greening up, and but the bad news is that they may stay, you know, may stay in the trees and in the woods. And
right.
May not
I think
come
as
out.
Far as a hunter's aspect, if it wouldn't have rained, if it would have stayed dry, I think the deer would have been coming to corn feeders a little bit more aggressively than if it's greening up now.
Now, what has been, I know, the trend over the last couple of years, because we've talked every year about, are the deer getting bigger? Are the restrictions that have been in place, have they been working? And for the most part, every year I hear you and Stephanie both saying the restrictions are working. Things
oh,
are working.
I think so. I think we're in the groove now. I think we've had the restrictions long enough where people really recognize that what we have now is a lot better than what we had before. I think people are comfortable with what we have, and hopefully they're still abiding by them. I think they understand that the young bucks out there need a little more time to progress up into the age class, and that's what the regulation is doing for it. And it seems to be working out well.
I know. I hear, you know, stories from my dad. You know, where we hunt at is where he grew up at, still. And he's saying, you know, what it was whenever he was a kid to now. He goes, you can't imagine. He goes, back then, if it moved, literally, you shot it. You know, you were happy if you saw a deer out in the woods at some point. And now, just the mass that you're seeing, and you know, the genetics are staying around from these bigger deer that are getting up there and getting a chance to get up to those bigger. The bigger mass and the bigger width of the deer, he goes, it's amazing. Just
oh,
from,
exactly.
Know, 50 years ago.
The hunting experience out there is just so much better, I think. You know, we soon forget, but just like you said, it wasn't that many years ago. If you sat out there and seen a buck, you were lucky.
Yeah.
Now I know people that see 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 different bucks in a sitting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the things have changed around here, and it's a very enjoyable hunt. Even if you don't see one that's 13 inches wide, you still have a very enjoyable hunt, you know. So I think it's a great deal.
We've seen fights. I mean, that's, you know, one of the best, coolest things I've seen is actually see a group of, you know, 5 or 6 bucks out there. And they're going at it.
I think
know,
I said this.
They're giving it.
Said this many years ago. Well, probably 2 or 3 years after we were into the antler restriction, that we are seeing rutting activity. Our deer are actually doing what they're supposed to do out there. Mm-hmm. They're competing for breeding rights. They're setting up their territories. They're doing all the stuff that deer were supposed to do. Prior to that, when we were working off a year and a half old bucks as our main deer breeders out there, our bucks out there, that was the oldest we had out there. Every once in a while we'd see a 2.5-year-old, and if we had a 3.5-year-old out there, it would make the news. I mean, it would make
yeah.
the newspaper. And so now it looks like the process biologically is running really, really good.
Yeah. And, you know, just in talking about the restrictions and looking at it now, and it's one of those things where, you know, 13 inches, are you sure? You look out there and you go, are you sure 13 inches? So you let them go.
Right.
And that one more year, you let them go in that one more year, you get amazed, because you look at, you see deer on camera all throughout the year. You see them every year out of the feeders, and you can start, you know, you can tell which deer are which every year, and just be amazed to see how much they've grown in that one year as we're letting them go. Maybe as a 2.5-year-old deer, you let him go 3.5 and he becomes something special.
You know, it made better hunters out of us too. I think instead of just going out there and relying on the chance that a deer would come by your feeder or something like that, I think a lot of the hunters now are learning more about hunting during the rut. You know, the habits of the bucks. There's hunters that rattle deer in with horns mm-hmm. and grunt calls, and you know, it's kind of a better experience out there, just to be able to witness that bucks running does and things like that. And I think that's very important now as you hunt older age bucks. You know, they're not just standing out there wanting to get shot.
No, they got old for a reason.
That's
you know,
right.
They're not a 4.5, 5.5-year-old deer just because, you know, they're dumb.
So we as hunters need to kind of understand that and really look at when the rut happens in our mm-hmm. area and hunt during the rut, and just, you know, it'll be a more enjoyable hunt for you anyway.
Yeah, and speaking of ruts, we've got like a couple of different ruts around here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, depending on what part of the county you're in some parts, I know we have 2 different ruts you know, where we're hunting at.
Yeah, it's hard to explain. We did a big research program on that where we went out and actually harvested doe deer and looked at the breeding times when they were bred according to the embryos in them. And it was a really great study. We learned a lot about deer. And just what we learned in that study was we have... I call them native deer. We have deer that have been here forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and we see it a lot. Austin County, Washington County, Southern Washington County, wrapping around towards the river. We see those native deer that seem to, and I don't want to call them all native and non-native, but it seems like there's an earlier rut in that side of the county in the south and southwestern part of the county. And then when you get up there around the lake and up into the river bottoms, we did a lot of relocating deer back in the 50s. And those deer came from different areas. Some of them came from South Texas. Some of them came from around Aransas Pass. Some of them came out of the hill country. It was a hodgepodge of deer. And I think when we put that hodgepodge of deer in here, we kind of interrupted some of the natural breeding cycle that we had here. And I know that's 40 years later, but our research showed that that still shows up in those deer. That's why around Lake Somerville you'll see that different times and different ruts. I think mm-hmm. it relates back to 40 and 50 years ago, what we did.
As me, yeah, you see them because they act so different whenever you get into one of those cycles there.
Just the other day, I live in the southern part of the county, and just the other day I seen where the deer are starting to rut out there. But mm-hmm. you won't see that in the northern part of the county.
836-9937, 836-9937. This is the Brenham Sports Line, our annual deer hunting special. The season gets underway locally next Saturday. And give us a call if you've got a question. Robert Lehman, former Texas Parks and Wildlife biologist, with us. And so is Craig Montana. And if you have any questions, just give us a call. 836-9937, 836-9937 here on the Brenham Sports Line, and Robert will answer your questions, or try to.
That's right.
And Craig, well, we're not sure if he can answer your questions or not. He can probably answer your questions on how to kill time if you're sitting out in the blinds and just don't see anything.
He can read books.
Yeah.
I read a lot.
Yeah, play with your smartphone.
Yeah, you can do that too. But we do a lot of reading. I read about 6-7 books during the season.
So. Yeah, geez, can't tell. Certainly don't spend a lot of time shooting.
Hey, you know, you shoot once is all you need. Once and you're done. I got a question here. I'm sure would have been a question for Stephanie, but maybe you can see, maybe you talk to some people that want to know, how many deer you think were lost this year during the floods?
That is a really great question, because I don't know either exactly, but it did hit at exact time where the fawns were kind of vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were really, really young.
You see out the lake sitting out there.
I live on the Mill Creek, and it flooded at that time. And mm-hmm. I do know that if there was deer down in that bottom, the creek came up so fast. And if those fawns have to be less than about 2 weeks old before it would really affect them. I think if they're over 2 weeks old, I think they can kind of get out of there if their mother leads them out of there in time.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're less than 2 weeks old, they're not moving very much. So I don't know. Have said that, my understanding that countywide we have a pretty good fawn crop.
Okay.
So I don't think it would affect the adult deer, but the fawn crop is where it would show up. At my house, I didn't think we had a bumper fawn crop this year. Now, maybe the floods had something to do with it, or something mm-hmm. else had something to do with it, but it was just an average fawn crop at my house.
This is the Brenham Sports Line, 836-9937, 836-9937. We'll take your phone calls. If you got any questions for us, give us a call, 836-9937, our Deer Hunting Special 2015. And we've got more coming up right after these words from our Sports Line sponsors.
So what does a good time sound like? Does it rock?
I can't believe we're right next to the stage! Ah, here we go!
Does it pack a punch?
This is for the UFC like heavyweight belt. Here we go!
Does it include dancing?
To our boy Randy the Bachelor. Let's make this a night we never talk about. Here we go!
Or is it off the grid?
4 days, 3 nights, and absolutely no email. Ah, here we go.
A good time can sound like just about anything, but there's one sound that goes with a good time every time. The just right taste of Bud Light. So no matter what your idea of a good time sounds like.
Streaking!
Here we go!
Start it off right with refreshing Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. Please drink responsibly. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Your regional distributor is Mike Hopkins Distributing. Pick up your favorite Budweiser products at your local retailer.
When your clothes have to look good, trust them to Classic Care Cleaners, 805 South Market Street in Brenham. Your dry cleaning comes back in tip-top condition because quality work is what's important to the staff at Classic Care Cleaners. Classic Care specializes in dry cleaning and laundry services. They offer starched jeans and shirts, leather and suede cleaning, alterations, wedding gowns, and drapery cleaned and pressed. And upon request, one-day dry cleaning. And it's a promise. You'll look great in everything they do. Classic Care Cleaners, 805 South Market in Brenham.
It's the Brenham Sports Line, sports talk with a local attitude, and it is our annual Deer Hunter Special brought to you by Budweiser, Mike Hopkins Distributing, and Classic Care Cleaners, making sure you look great in everything that they do. And with us is former Texas Parks and Wildlife biologist Robert Lehman, our longtime friend and longtime guest here on our Deer Hunter Special, and Craig Montana, the great white hunter.
Hey, you know, I go out, I do hunt. I'm out in the woods. I sit in my blind, look at the feeders. I see the deer go by, all the does.
Watch the deer go by and just wave. You know, the funny thing is they're all laughing when they walk by.
You know, you see 20 doe come out with a bunch of yearlings with them, and then you see a couple of spikes come out and a couple, you know, little basket bucks.
Spikes are legal.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Sounds like lots of excuses. I don't know.
Okay, yeah. Regulations, man, regulations. You got to follow the rules. Speaking of yearlings, fawns, we talked about those earlier. You were talking about how 2 weeks old, you know, before they start moving around. What is that progression of, you know, from birth of a fawn into up until, you know, they're able to go up on their own?
Yeah, now this is unofficial and not scientifically based, but just watching deer for many, many years and knowing kind of the fawns, how they react, I came up with kind of a way to age fawns. And, you know, if you can age your fawns, you can date that back to your breeding time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to know your rut, whenever your fawns are being born, just back that up. And I think it's 207 days or something like that. You can look that up, how many days backwards it would be when they were bred. But here's the way I age fawns. From 1 day old to 14 days old, they won't hardly move at all. They're just hiding. They're in their hiding stage. They're going to be tucked away in the grass. They're going to just stay there, and their best defense is just stay still. When they get about 2 weeks old, you can jump them up, but they're going to act more like a rabbit. They're going to run up. They're going to go a little ways and try to hide again, kind of duck down again. They'll do that for another week or so, say 3 weeks old. And getting into 4 weeks old, a month old, by the time you jump them up then, it'd be hard to catch them. When they're about a month old, they're getting really, really hard to catch between 3 weeks and a month old. So if you walk up on a little fawn, you know, in the early spring and he reacts in one of those ways, you can kind of backdate him and say, well, yeah, we're bred about this time. If you walk up there and he's standing up, he's looking at you, and he's acting like a deer already, and he runs off, he's probably older than a month old. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not even hiding anymore. He'll lay up during the day and come out of the woods right late in the evening with its mother, or go to greet its mother early in the morning, late in the evening. You'll see him out there. But by the time they're 2 months old, then they become part of the herd. You know, they're 60 days old. They're starting to be just a part of the herd, and they're not hiding anymore. They're acting just like the rest of the deer. They're following the deer around wherever all the other deer go, and they're part of the herd. So if you see them in the herd, then you know they're a couple of months old already.
And of course, by this time, you know, you're seeing them. You know, they've already lost their spots. Well, most of them are losing their spots.
Most of them, yes.
We have seen them out there around this time of the year that still have some spots on them. You know, into the not right now, but you know, still into the September, October time, there's still some spots on them.
Yeah, there's two things that possibly could create those late fawns. One is you know, if we do have a later rut, which around like I truly believe we have a rut that goes into December over there. So you know, we do have a later rut. Two, it may be that that fawn that you see this year was bred in January on that what we call that secondary rut when the fawns of the year get old enough to breed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that fawn gets 8 months old in January, and a lot of times we have another rut in January. Well, that puts that doe fawn that bred that year, if she has a fawn as a 1.5 year old, and that puts her really, really late. She'll catch up. Her cycle will come back to where it's supposed to be. But just if conditions are real good, there's a portion of the fawns that breed that year. But they don't breed until they get about 8 months old, which puts them into January when they breed.
Okay. It's always interesting to know, you just, like, you see them, you know, like I said, you got game coming up, and you're like, it's October, and you're still seeing spots. It's like, that's a little bit strange.
Yeah.
Oh, hello.
8-3. There, no, I got it.
Nice.
I had my microphone up because I was sitting back listening to you guys.
Oh, okay.
836-9937. Give us a call here on the Brenham Sports Line. It is our annual Deer Hunter special. And anything new for this year? Anything different as far as... I don't know about rules and regulations. You probably, you know, we need a game warden to talk about that. But anything new that hunters need to keep in mind this year when they go out?
Not really that I know on the horizon. I know I heard a lot of talk about possibly one day changing the rules on taking does. I know the department's probably discussing that. I don't know if it'll happen in this county, but we may see some areas pretty close to us where they'll get a little more liberal on the doe harvest. Now, I don't know. I'm not in that circle anymore, but I know there has been some discussion on that.
That is a big topic every year because we're no problem to see 20 doe, you know, maybe more, but at the same time kind of going in a herd together.
Right, and there is an avenue to go through the managed land deer permit program. And also, there's another way that some of these other counties do it. I know the Washington County has a really good organization called Washington County Wildlife Society. And the Washington County Wildlife Society has their own co-ops or wildlife management area groups, you know, like Greenvine has one, Rocky Creek has one, and there's seven of them in the county. If those groups would ever combine or just... combine their membership and want to harvest does in their co-ops, Wildlife Management Association co-ops, they could do that. In other words, the Rocky Creek could do it as a combined unit, and it would be something that you'd have to work with Stephanie on that. But you could get some permits issued, you know, in the co-op that way.
Now, you talk about the wildlife associations. Those are great organizations. If somebody out there doesn't know exactly about what those organizations, how they go about finding out the information to maybe join one, because there's a lot of advantages joining one of those associations, tax exempt status for being a wildlife management land and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's they have their own website, wcwildlife.org, I think it is. They're in cooperation with the County Extension Office. They work at both through Parks and Wildlife and County Extension. They're kind of co-op work at so through the county agent or through Stephanie, you can get more information on it. But they're a great group. They have their own board of directors. Now, they do not, just because you're a member does not mean you get the ag qualification as far as wildlife.
No, you've actually got to have the management stuff on, but you can go through them to get that.
They provide a lot of information on how to do it and help you out on that too. And they're a great informational group. They're a great group to to kind of meet your neighbor and know your neighbor. That was kind of a portion of their purpose too, is not just the wildlife, but also to bring neighbor to neighbor together, where you would know kind of what's going on out in your area.
And they had those meetings. I think they do yearly meetings.
Biannual. Have two meetings, one in January and one in August, and they're pretty good sized meetings. Sometimes mm-hmm. they're 300-400 people there, and then they have their own local little co-op meetings. Like the Greenvine will have their little meeting just for Greenvine members. Rocky Creek will have their members. Sandtown, you know, have their members meet once or twice a year.
This is the Brenham Sports Line. It is our annual Deer Hunter Special. We want to remind you to give us a call, 836-9937, 836-9937, and we'll get your questions answered as we get ready for the 2015 deer season. News is coming up on KWHI.
Come walk the red carpet to help erase cancer at the Washington County Relay for Life event on Saturday, November 7th. The event begins at 6 p.m. with closing ceremonies at midnight. You can help. Just head to Fireman's Park Baseball Field and Parking Lot in Brenham. KWHI will be there with live reports between 5 and 7 p.m. Brought to you in part by Parts and More, K&M Grocery, AMA Home Care, Coring Monument, Woodman Life, Jayco Transmissions, and Citizen State Bank. Join KWHI this Saturday for live reports from the Washington County Relay for Life.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Deirdre Bryant. Just days after being sworn in as Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan is making waves. He says he won't bring up comprehensive immigration reform as long as President Obama is in office. The White House calls it preposterous. Former Clinton Gore pollster Stanley Greenberg says the numbers are surging and politicians are going to have to catch up.
37% of New York City is foreign-born. You know, 40% of L.A. are foreign-born. You know, two-thirds of Miami. Half of the Silicon Valley engineer. So, you know, you're talking about one in five migrants in the world are in the U.S.
He says Republicans are waging their last battle against immigration this election cycle. National Intelligence Director James Clapper says it can't be ruled out, but there's no direct evidence of terrorist involvement in the crash of a Russian jetliner in Egypt's Sinai Peninsula. All 224 people were killed. The wreckage of the El Faro cargo ship has been found 15,000 feet below the surface east of the Bahamas. What's next for the search crews?
The NTSB says first it will try and find the voyage data recorder. This is kind of like the black box on an airplane. It should aid investigators in trying to piece together what happened to the ship, why it became disabled directly in the path of Hurricane Joaquin, and why it sank. And then they'll look to make a record of the ship. They'll document the vessel and all the debris that surrounds it.
ABC's Mark Remillard. The nation's largest bank, J.P. Morgan Chase, will pay $100 million to settle a California lawsuit. It claimed the bank used illegal methods to collect debts from more than 125,000 credit card holders. The World Series champion, Kansas City Royals, returned home today. A parade and rally planned for tomorrow. 200,000 people are expected, and several school districts will be closed. It's the Royals' first World Series title in 30 years. A judge in Los Angeles has ordered Bill Cosby to be deposed by lawyers for Janice Dickinson in the model's defamation lawsuit against him. This is ABC News.
It's happening to you every night. One snores, and the other can't sleep. It seems like there's no end to it. But now, there is a quick and easy-to-use solution, a natural solution, SnoreStop. SnoreStop was created and tested by a team of physicians and has been helping couples sleep for over 18 years. It is the number one selling anti-snoring medicine in the U.S.
Thank you, SnoreStop. You saved my marriage.
SnoreStop sprays or tablets are now available nationwide at a store near you, or you can go online at SnoreStop.com. Don't wait. It's time to try SnoreStop and make every night a better night for both of you.
Thanks, SnoreStop. Now I'm back in the bedroom.
So don't wait. Try SnoreStop, the number one selling anti-snoring medicine in the U.S. Spray or tablets are available today at a store near you or online at SnoreStop.com. That's SnoreStop.com. SnoreStop, keeping you together.
The Vatican has arrested a priest and a financial advisor. ABC's Megan Williams is in Rome with more on the story.
The Vatican says its police have arrested a Spanish priest and a woman hired by the Vatican to help with financial reform. Both were held over the weekend in connection with leaked confidential Vatican finance documents. Francesca Chacqui and Lucio Angel Vallejo Balda were selected by Pope Francis 2 years ago to sit on a commission to help reform the Vatican's finance department. On Monday, the Vatican said Vallejo Balda was still being held in jail in Vatican City. Megan Williams, ABC News, Rome.
They can't vote yet, so dozens of kids have been suing states and the federal government to push for action on climate change. The Oregon-based Our Children's Trust has been leading efforts, saying their generation will bear the brunt of global warming and government has an obligation to protect natural resources. Some cases have been dismissed. Others are still pending. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
I'm Ed Pothel with the KWHI Local News Update. Building permits for the city of Brenham showed a large increase in October. A total of 37 permits were issued for a value of just under $2.5 million. This compares to $1.8 million issued in September. The largest permits issued this past month, two for Bluebell Creameries, $709,000 for a new commercial building, and another for $440,000. Replacement of an existing cold storage building. So far this year, the city has issued $27.1 million worth of permits. Brenham police investigating a pair of burglaries from over the weekend. Friday morning, police were called out at the 2400 block of South Chapel Hill Street. Caller said someone had broken into a maintenance shop and stolen a pressure washer valued at about $280. Sunday night, police called out to the 400 block of West Stone. Caller said he'd left his home at about 6 o'clock, returned 3 hours later. Someone had broken in, stolen a flat-screen television valued at $600. Tuesday is the day for Texas residents to vote on the proposed constitutional amendment. County Clerk Beth Rothermel reminding voters they will need to go to their polling places in order to vote on the 7 proposed amendments. Polling locations have been consolidated from 15 to 8. To find out where to vote, voters can check the county's website or contact the district clerk's office. For a list of the proposed constitutional amendments, you can go to the website votetexas.gov. The Friendly Country forecast calling for clear skies overnight. Look for a low of 55. Tuesday, mostly sunny, a high of 78, and a good chance of rain Thursday and Friday. I'm Ed Pothel for KWHI, where the news comes first.
Disney on Ice presents Treasure Trove, presented by Yo Kids Organic Yogurt. At last, your favorite Disney animated films are now a super cool ice show. Unlock your most precious moments from Disney's animated treasures, Alice in Wonderland, Toy Story, Peter Pan, and The Lion King, with Disney princesses from Snow White to Rapunzel. Bring your family to a spectacular event that will leave you bedazzled. Disney on Ice presents Treasure Trove is playing November 11th through 15th at NRG Stadium. Tickets are on sale now. Visit Ticketmaster.com today.
When your clothes have to look good, trust them to Classic Care Cleaners, 805 South Market Street in Brenham. Your dry cleaning comes back in tip-top condition because quality work is what's important to the staff at Classic Care Cleaners. Classic Care specializes in dry cleaning and laundry services. They offer starched jeans and shirts, leather and suede cleaning, alterations, wedding gowns, and drapery cleaned and pressed. And upon request, one-day dry cleaning. And it's a promise. You'll look great in everything they do. Classic Care Cleaners, 805 South Market in Brenham.
It is the Brenham Sports Line, sports talk with a local attitude, brought to you by Budweiser, Mike Hopkins Distributing, and by Classic Air Cleaners, making sure you look great in everything they do. And welcome back to the Sports Line. It is our annual Deer Hunter special as we are getting ready for the start locally of the 2015 season here in Washington County. And now, of course, joining us, as always, our old friend, former Texas Parks and Wildlife biologist Robert Lehman, and Lumpy Craig Montana with us here, a resident deer hunter.
I do. I hunt.
Yes, he hunts. He doesn't kill much, but he hunts.
It's called hunting, not killing, by the way. I just want to throw that out there.
I've noticed that when it comes to you.
I've got an open invitation. You want to sit with me and think if you could do better with me, more than welcome.
See, I'm not the one who says I'm a deer hunter. I'm a deer cook. I'm a venison cook. You throw some venison at me, I can come up with a recipe like that. We'll cook something good. I don't profess...
Talk bad about the hunters.
I don't profess. I'll be the first to tell you right now. I couldn't hit that wall with a bazooka.
I can shoot. I'm very, very selective on what I shoot.
Yeah, that's always an excuse. Anyway, of course, as we said, locally the season gets underway this coming Saturday. However, it's different starting times for different seasons, I guess, parts of the state, is it?
It's pretty well uniform.
Is it all uniform now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they have, last weekend was youth weekend, I guess last weekend was.
Okay.
Yeah. But most all of the state starts in a uniform fashion now.
Okay.
At one time it was, South Texas started later than us, and East Texas started earlier, and there was a hodgepodge of starting dates, but now they pretty well unified it.
Yeah, because I remember a long time ago when I was first here, I had said something about it was the start of deer season, and somebody said, well, yeah, but we've been hunting for a couple weeks already.
North zone, south zone.
What?
Yeah, kind of like dove season is, yeah.
Right.
I thought maybe I was onto something. I thought maybe we had a big scoop here. I've been hunting for weeks already. Hey, whoa, does the game wardens know about this? One thing that we talked about a couple of months ago, a story came to light that they are now encouraging hunters to have their deer checked for CWD. And Robert, if you could tell us what that is, tell us what it's all about, and what this story is about.
Yeah, chronic wasting disease has been around for a long time. It's basically, I guess, the mad cow disease of the wild deer herds. They first discovered it up in Colorado. It's also kind of related to scrapies and sheep. And, so there's a lot of history behind it, and a lot of states have dealt with it. It's my understanding that they found it in Texas this year for the first time ever. We have been testing for it. Even back when I was with the department, we started testing for chronic wasted disease in random deer, mainly roadkill deer. We would go out, sheriff's department would call us, highway department would call us, and we'd go out and pick up the roadkill deer and have them tested. The theory behind that was if there was a deer that was kind of sick or something like that, it could be wandering out into the road, and it was a higher probability that, it might get run over. We also checked a lot of hunter-harvested deer. What you do is it's the brain stem that we have to pull and send in. So we've been checking for years and years and years in Texas and been pretty clean, have been real clean, haven't found it, but now that has been located in some pen-raised deer. Out in, I guess, in the hill country. And I know Texas Parks and Wildlife is on top of it. They have a plan in place, and they're making sure that it's not spreading to the wild deer, or trying to make sure it's not spreading to the wild deer.
And that's one thing to mention, that they have not found it in a wild population.
Not to my knowledge.
They found it, when people that are raising deer.
That's right.
These deer are kind of, they're close together, kind of pinned up together, but it has not been in the wild yet. Not say that it can't be or couldn't be, but as of yet,
that's right.
Hasn't been found yet, so people are still still on the safe side. But something you find one of those locations. I know Stephanie, she does some locations. The first few weeks of the season, they'll measure and score your deer for it, and then if you give them permission, they will take those stems here. And I'm not positive on where they'll be this year, but definitely we'll find that out and let you know. But something, if you do kill a deer, just find out where they're going to be and just have it tested. It takes all of me, I think, 20 minutes. I was there when I killed mine 2 years ago.
Right, right.
So it's not very long at all.
No.
And if they do find cases of this, how dangerous is it that it can spread? How contagious is it?
It's mainly, as far as I know, dangerous to the deer itself. As far as spreading from deer to humans. There's no documented cases of that. So, but the main concern or the initial concern is just so it doesn't spread from deer to deer and go out throughout the deer herd. So, as far as I know, it's spread by contact, you know, nose to nose contact or something like that on the deer. So the deer, it doesn't spread through the air or through insects or something like that. So it is kind of something that once it hits a deer herd, it can be pretty hard. I know it was pretty hard on some elk herds up in the northwestern states, and there was quite a few animals that, you know, as it got in there, it wasn't good on the herds. It knocked a lot of animals out of the herds. So that's what they're trying to protect around here. I guess I really can't answer how bad it really would be, because I think everybody is a little more educated on it now, and they have a game plan in action and are doing a lot of testing and monitoring, and hopefully we don't have to see what it would do unchecked, you know.
836-9937, 836-9937. Give us a call. This is the Burnham Sports Line. It is our annual Deer Hunter Special. Former biologist Robert Lehman is with us as always here on the Burnham Sports Line.
Going to kind of change gears here and talk about, you know, feeding deer real quick. This is kind of something that me and my pop, we go through. It seems like every year we're going over this, whether feeding protein. We do feed year-round, feed protein, mineral, all throughout the season. But once the season starts, you know, I'm a fan of cutting them off of protein because, you know, you don't want them coming up at night and feeding and eating whenever you're not there. But, you know, you have pictures on your camera. Deer are there at your protein feeder during the day and at good times. You know, what's your thoughts on that? Would you feed, you know, protein at a self-feeder? I'm talking about at a self-feeder.
Right. Free choice.
Yeah, you know, all through the season.
Yeah, it just depends on what your goals are. If you're hunting, you know, there's kind of a division between doing it for hunting purposes or doing it for the health of the deer purposes. You know, if you're hunting purposes, yeah, it probably would help to shut down your feeders and just run corn feeders at a timed interval when the corn feeder goes off, your deer will come out. Now, I don't know if they would not come out if you're still feeding protein. I don't know. You know, it's a good argument back and forth. But as far as the deer are concerned, you know, feeding full time whenever they can come is probably the best for the deer's sake. But at hunting purposes, I just, you know, it stands to reason that if you're not feeding protein at night or have a food source out there at night, that they would probably come.
And we do have a caller. Let's go to
hang up and then dial your operator.
Okay, they hung up. Well, it was nice talking to the operator for just a moment there. 836-9937, 836-9937. Give us a call, and we will put we'll get your question answered on the air.
And I guess just to keep on the subject, because a lot of people do the do we have a phone call?
Yes, we do. There we go. Okay, welcome back here on the Burnham Sports Line.
Yeah, it was brought up that Washington County is a two-buck county now.
It's a two-buck county, as in you can take a deer of 13 inches or greater inside spread, or a deer with an unbranched tine, like a spike.
Yes. Okay, spike and then
two spikes.
Then the legal deer. Spikes, okay. When did that come up with the two-buck? I've never heard of that. I'm not a hunter no more.
I think it's always been that. I think it's always been the two-buck, but you can only have one of the big bucks.
Mm-hmm. Well, since the 13-inch rule was implemented, that's when it came in effect.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we were talking about that. I'm not a hunter no more. I'm not mad at him, so. But the other people are. So we were just kind of curious. We were arguing about it. I've always said it's just a one-buck county.
Well, it is in the fact that you only take one of the big, nice bucks.
Yeah, okay. For spike, you can take it at any time.
A spike, or they call it an unbranched tine. It could be a three or a four, but as long as one of those sides is slick.
Okay. That's what we needed. Thank you very much.
All right, you're welcome. Thanks for the call.
Right. Thanks for calling. 836-9937, 836-9937. Our Deer Hunter Special here on the Burnham Sports Line.
And I guess
continue the conversation
with the feed, and I guess because it runs into the question of, like, a lot of people do food plots. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, you run the same problem with, if you have a food plot out and you got a full moon out and they're going to come eat, you know, at night too. So I mean, does that mean? So I guess, does it really matter what, you know, how you're doing with the protein?
Well, it's going way back to our kind of earlier conversation about hunting during the rut and things like that. If you really want to get a big buck and an older age buck, you're probably going to have to hunt during the rut whenever he's interested in moving around for other reasons than food. And so, you know, I don't think unless we get into just a severe drought or something like that that we're really going to draw all our deer out at times with food. I know it's a very effective method of hunting.
Yes.
Have a corn feeder go off at 4:45, and here they come running, you know. And when there's a lot of food available for them, it doesn't happen as well. So I think the range conditions probably will dictate that more than if there's protein feed out there.
Okay.
836-9937, 836-9937. Give us a call. This is the Brenham Sports Line. It is our annual Deer Hunter Special, and we're taking your phone calls. Want to hear what questions you have for former Texas wildlife biologist Robert Lehman. Sports.net Bottle along with Craig Montana. We'll be back with more of the Brenham Sports Line here on KWHI.
Where your beer is brewed? With 12 breweries spread out all across the United States, a fresh Budweiser is closer than you think. You might even say we're America's favorite local brewer. Back in 1876, we had one St. Louis brewery. And people seem to like our hometown brew, so we've stayed true to that original recipe. We still use hops we hand-select ourselves. We still use our exclusive Beechwood aging process. We've just got more local brewers now, so we can guarantee fresh Budweisers for everyone. Want to see just how fresh? Download the Track Your Bud app. Then you can retrace the creation of the bud in your hand. Where and when it was brewed. Where the ingredients came from. It's Brewmaster. Just enter the born-on date on the bottle. It's like taking a tour of your local Budweiser brewery from the comfort of your bar stool. From farm to finish to your phone, get to know your bud. Download the Track Your Bud app or visit trackyourbud.com today. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Your regional distributor is Mike Hopkins Distributing. Pick up your favorite Budweiser products at your local retailer.
Come walk the red carpet to help erase cancer at the Washington County Relay for Life event on Saturday, November 7th. The event begins at 6 p.m. with closing ceremonies at midnight. You can help. Just head to Fireman's Park Baseball Field and Parking Lot in Brenham. KWHI will be there with live reports between 5 and 7 p.m. Brought to you in part by Parts and More, K&M Grocery, AMA Home Care, Coring Monument, Woodman Life, Janko Transmissions, and Citizen State Bank. Join KWHI this Saturday for live reports from the Washington County Relay for Life.
It is the Brenham Sports Line, sports talk with a local attitude. 836-9937, 836-9937. Give us a call if you have a question for Robert Lehman, the former Texas Parks and Wildlife biologist, joining us here on the Brenham Sports Line on our annual Deer Hunter Special. Also, Craig Montana is in studio with us trying to pick up some tips. And now let's go to the phones. And hello, you're on the Brenham Sports Line.
Sports Doc, this is your old man talking with you and stuff.
Hello, Edgar. How you doing, my friend?
Pretty good. How are you doing, man?
All right.
Hey, listen, I think y'all need to ask Robert if he could go with Mr. Montana to maybe set him up a nice little blind or something like that, because I heard here during the like the bow season that the man was supposed to go hunting, but he probably wouldn't have a blind to hunt out of.
Somebody's been talking to Papa Montana.
Yeah, well,
right.
No, I,
so,
I Go ahead.
Sports Doc, could you ask Mr. Lehman if he could kind of go along with him and assign him a spot or something like that, that he could put up a new blast? And maybe he could shoot more, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, shoot more never hurts.
Well, since I'm not with the department now, I could probably charge a little guide fee there.
There you go.
Well, see, that's what I'm thinking of, Sports Doc. I tell you, Mr. Lehman is a wonderful person, and I think the world of him. And Mr. Montana is the same way. And even his daddy was the first one to tell me the other day that I don't know where he's gonna bow hunt out, because the blinds already filled in. So, and he tells you, of course, Sports Doc, he tells you all the time, we're going to work on our blinds. We're going to work on the feeders and stuff. So I don't know, Sports Doc, and all. I think he has to have Mr. Lehman to help him so he can shoot more deer for you.
Helping out you, right?
Sports Doc needs a little chili meat.
Always.
We all need a little chili meat.
Really, I just commend you all, and I commend Mr. Robert Lehman for being there and stuff, and for doing what you do, Sports Doc, and Mr. Montana both, and it's amazing and all that y'all take an interest in it, and to let everybody know what's going on within the county, and it's wonderful. I just thank you guys. So hope you have a good night, and hope you have a good season, Sports Doc. And you have to tell Mr. Montana how you're gonna, where he needs to go and what he needs to shoot, because Robert has to probably be with him.
Well,
all right, you guys have a good night, and thank you. God bless you.
All God bless you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I just want to follow up on that, because that kind of brought something to my memory. You know, when I started here, I think it was 1990-something or what. I don't know when it was when I first came to Washington County, but I took the county over from a biologist that was over in Columbus, and a very good biologist, Roy Sturious. He was a Washington County guy, too. And we were talking about deer and everything, and Roy's kind of looked at me, and he said, Robert, I don't know why you're worrying about deer. In about 10 years, you won't have any around the county anymore. Well, you know, things were kind of dreary looking back then. We were downhill on deer. We were you know, to a point that if you've seen a deer, it was just really a good thing. And just look at us now. So there is something to be said about taking interest in the wildlife and taking interest in the land and managing it. And I just want to take my hat off to the landowners out here that have done a good job, and the hunters. You know, everybody has really kind of gathered together and kind of took interest in these animals and kind of helped them survive, and now they're thriving.
And yeah, I can attest to that. You've seen, you know, the years that I've been hunting, where we hunt at, you know, I hunt by the lake, put that out there. And just to see, you know, year after year after year, we're seeing, you know, more and more deer and just bigger and bigger deer.
We got another phone call, 836-9937, 836-9937. Good evening. You're on the Burnham Sports Line.
Yeah, I called a bit ago and about the spike or the unbranched.
Right,
can
right.
you shoot two unbranched, or does it have to be one legal, one unbranched?
No, you can shoot two unbranched smaller ones, but only one of the big ones.
That's right.
Right. That's what we just want to make sure. I was asked that. Why didn't you ask it a minute ago? Well,
I wasn't thinking about it then, right?
Right.
All right.
That's what we needed. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate the call.
All right. Appreciate it. 836-9937, 836-9937 on the Burnham Sports Line.
And, yeah, it's always interesting to see, you know, with that rule there, it's not just spikes. And, you know, it's, you know, that one in branch time, it could be a six as long as it's a five and one.
That's right.
You know, anything is just that one, as long as that one side is a slick side.
And a point is defined as being an inch long.
And so if it's got a little knot on it, that's a half inch, you know, it's still considered a slick time. Right. So. You know, you got to be careful when you're looking at that, but you can get away with that.
That's right.
Now, so you've got youngsters out there who want to get started deer hunting, you know, and the young kids that want to get going. And Robert, what's your kind of advice if, you know, parents that maybe dad isn't a deer hunter, hasn't done it before, but he's got a son that's really interested and wants to get started? What are some of the ways to get started? What is your advice of how to get involved and how, you know, to get kids started doing it the right way safely and correctly.
Yeah, well, now most all kids have to go through the hunter safety course, which that's a good background and a good basis for them to kind of get started and get some instructions on gun safety and things like that. But experience is hard to beat. So if the dad's not a hunter or they have an uncle or a cousin or somebody like that that has been hunting before, that's one of the best ways. And getting them in there and kind of laying down the groundwork that they're not out there just shooting. You know, the stages of a hunter starts and progresses up to where Craig probably is right now, where he really he does a lot of passing instead of shooting.
Yes,
intentionally.
Yes, I do. Yes.
But you know, a young one, when they get out there, their main goal is to harvest a deer a lot of times. And if we get them out there and we teach them that you know, this is out here enjoying nature, being out there when the sun comes up and learning all the birds waking up and then the deer come out next, and it's just a good enjoyable experience too. But as far as the hunting, it would be nice if you could find somebody that just really could take them out there and get them started and show them the ropes.
And I tested that. My oldest, Mallory, she went last year for the first time. And, you know, she's in love with it. She loves going out there. Last year we went and, she spotted a coyote before anybody else did. And she was out there and she was paying attention to the surroundings and she saw it. And we got a coyote off the place there. And, you know, you can't be out there with the nature, the birds chirping and seeing, you know,
right,
listening to the leaves rustle and, you know, figure out, you know, what is that, you know,
right,
what's out there?
That's the hunting.
I hear
it's
it.
It's a hunting experience.
And,
yes,
and the younger they are to experience that, and they don't need a gun. They don't need anything. They just need to go out there and have them, you know, a little something to drink and a chair and, you know, maybe a little pillow to take a nap with later on. But you can't beat the experience having that with you and seeing their faces when actually they do see a deer come out.
Right. I did it with both my children, and they'll do it with their children too. Yeah.
And we're going back to that hunter's education course now. You have to take that just to hunt by yourself. But if they're going to hunt, you know, with an adult, they don't need to take that until they're a little bit older.
Yes,
how it legally works.
I think now, and this has changed since back when I was in with the department. But now I think they can only hunt a couple of years by themselves without the hunter safety certificate. Even if they're older, to buy a license, they're going to have the hunter safety course.
Yeah, but they hunt, you know, as long as they're hunting. Oh, to get a license,
yes,
in general, they have to have that course.
Yeah,
okay.
I think once they get older, if they haven't taken it when they were young, they would have to go and take it.
I took that class many years ago, and you only got to take the one time.
Right.
You know, you take it once, and you're done.
Once you're certified, you're done.
And I always thought that, you know, or was told that, you know, if you hunted with someone that, you know, was a certain age or had the license, you know, you were good. But you had to have it if you want to hunt by yourself. But now, I guess, if you needed to get a license, you know.
Yeah, I'm not for sure exactly what it is. It would be your best to, you know, get in the manual and look in the guidebooks on the rules and regulations on that. But I'm sure that they've made some changes in that in the past years.
Okay, and that, I wouldn't even think about that. Nice to know.
I don't, hey. first time I went out, the only time I went out, got me something. I think it was a Scotch pine. Blew the bark right off that bad boy.
There you
I'll
go.
I'll tell you. But, Robert, as always, a pleasure. Glad you could be here again
this year.
And, boy, we want to wish everybody out there a great, great deer season.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'm always on the search for more and more venison.
Yeah, he says that. He looks at me, and then all he wants to do is talk bad about how bad I hunt and I don't shoot anything.
Well,
you
that's,
notice
you know, that's because if I, you know, that's because if I had to count on you, I would
have.
But
just be sure if I shoot, it's going to be something nice.
Now, I have to give props out to my good friend Daryl Kiki. He takes care of me every year.
You bet. Daryl's a good guy.
Daryl takes care of me. And
he can shoot does where he's at. You can't shoot does around here.
Way out in another part of the state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Daryl takes care of me, and so I appreciate, because, you know, if I had to rely on Lumpy, we'd be eating lots of ramen noodles.
Good quality meat that I sent your way, though.
Over the winter, but Robert, as always, it's a pleasure. I enjoyed having you, and again, we do wish the best to Stephanie and her family. Stephanie was going to be here, could not because of a family emergency, and we wish her the best. And Lumpy, as always, good hunting.
No, appreciate it. Saturday afternoon, I'll be there.
Yep. And, hey, I got a feeling this year.
I got a feeling every year.
Yeah, we every tell year how I get a feeling. That is, but I got a feeling this year. This is gonna be a big year. I think you're gonna get a big one this year.
Yeah, hey, I've seen the pictures out there. As long as they're hanging around, I got a shot at it.
You're gonna get that one that's going on the wall this year.
I hope so.
I feel it. All right, this is the Brenham Sports Line Sports Talk with a local attitude. We'll be back to wrap it up right after these words.
When your clothes have to look good, trust them to Classic Care Cleaners, 805 South Market Street in Brenham. Your dry cleaning comes back in tip-top condition because quality work is what's important to the staff at Classic Care Cleaners. Classic Care specializes in dry cleaning and laundry services. They offer starched jeans and shirts, leather and suede cleaning, alterations, wedding gowns, and drapery cleaned and pressed. And upon request, one-day dry cleaning. And it's a promise. You'll look great in everything they do. Classic Care Cleaners, 805 South Market in Brenham.
So what does a good time sound like? Does it rock?
I can't believe we're right next to the stage. Ah, here we go.
Does it pack a punch?
This is for the UFC light heavyweight belt. Here we go.
Does it include dancing?
To our boy Randy the Bachelor. Let's make this a night we never talk about. Here we go.
Or is it off the grid?
4 days, 3 nights, and absolutely no email. Ah, here we go.
A good time can sound like just about anything, but there's one sound that goes with a good time every time. The just right taste of Bud Light. So no matter what your idea of a good time sounds like.
Streaking!
Here we go!
Start it off right with refreshing Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. Please drink responsibly. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Your regional distributor is Mike Hopkins Distributing. Pick up your favorite Budweiser products at your local retailer.
You've been listening to the Brenham Sports Line, sports talk with a local attitude. Brought to you by Budweiser, Mike Hopkins Distributing, and by Classic Air Cleaners, making sure you look great in everything they do. Want to thank our Robert Lehman and Craig Montana for joining us this evening on the Brenham Sports Line, our Deer Hunter special. If you missed part of the program or want to hear it again, just log on to our website, kwhi.com. Tomorrow morning, we will have it uploaded and ready for you on our podcast on kwhi.com. We'll be back again next week with more of the Brenham Sports Line. Same bat time, same bat channel, KWHI Brenham.